Morning. Today's Tav Bava Basra, Zayin Gimel. We start today the new perek of Masechta. We're beginning the fifth perek of Bava Basra, Hamochir Sesfina. We're talking about the sale of a boat. This follows up the previous perek, Hamochir Sabais. We're talking about the sale of a house. And what we discussed for the last 12 blot of Gemara was what is included and excluded from the sale of the house. You weren't clear. You didn't contractually clarify what exactly is part and parcel of the house, what is not, and so therefore the Mishnah gives us a basic understanding of what human language is and what definitions are and how people speak to one another, and therefore what is generically included and excluded. Our perek starts off the same way regarding the sale of a boat. There is a fundamental difference between the sale of a boat and the sale of the house. The Rashbam points it out. I'll show you the Rashbam a little bit later on this morning, where in the sale of the house, where the delineation of what is and what is not included can be simply explained through what is property versus what is movable. Karka versus metaltlin, right? So that's why in the previous parak we talked about the distinction between a door versus a lock versus a key. A lock which is fixed to the door, which is fixed to the house, that's karka. But when it comes to the key is movable, therefore the key is not included. So there, a very clear delineation can be made just simply on a question of what is karka, what's metaltlin. When it comes to a boat, you pick the boat up and the boat is movable. I understand the boat's big, but still, it's not karka, it's not land. So therefore, when we're talking about a sale of a boat, so really, our definitional points of what is and what is not included is not going to be as clear cut, and it's going to be a little bit different than the previous parak. And again, I'll show you the Rashbam a little bit later on this morning, in just a short couple minutes from now. Hamochir Sesfina, we start with the Mishnah. The Mishnah talks about what's included in the sale of a boat. I heard a joke. I don't know if it's a joke, but a number of people have told me that in terms of a boat owner, the two best days of his life is the day that he buys the boat and the day that he sells the boat. People heard that, right? I've heard that as well. I'm obviously not a boat owner, but okay. That's what I've heard. I like boats. But that's okay. Anyway, all right. Moving along. Mochir Sesfina. So when you sell the boat, Machir as a Turin. So the masters include the boat, the as Hanes and the literally the banner, sail, the as Ugin and the anchor. Best kolam maniganos and everything that is used in order to move the boat. In other words, in our day and age, that would be called the engine. In their day and age, okay, we'll talk about exactly what facilitates the moving of the boat. The oars and so forth and so on.
The rudder.
The rudder. No, that steers it. Okay, yep. So so everything that moves the boat. But three things are not included in the sale of the boat, the slaves. Okay, so you got all your, you got your mate, and your captain and all the people that are involved in the maneuvering of the boat and the captaining of the boat, so they're not including the sail. And it's meaning, again, when we had this discussion back also in the previous parak as well, meaning the slave is necessarily owned by the boat. So it's kind of hard to understand exactly why I would have even thought that was including the sail of the boat. I don't know. In other words,
they have to
roll
the boat.
No, I understand that, but why would I have even thought that the slave is included in the sale? Meaning, is it the person's slave? If that's true, then he's surely not included. Meaning, where's even the discussion? Where's the hava? I mean, that the slave would have been included, but okay, I don't know. Velo samartzufim, not the sacks, and velo antiki, not the cargo. So again, they're not functionally an intrinsic part of the boat, and therefore they're not included in the sale. And when you include the words hiva chomash besocha, it and all the contents of the boat, so then it includes everything. Which means now it's going to include the slaves, the sacks, the cargo. All those things are going to be included as well. Okay, Rashbam, I promised it. Here it is. The Rashbam over here on the last Rashbam on the Mishnah. Divrei Maschal Martzufim. So Martzufim laseis besocha na antiki dahainu prakmatia shosfina kedem farsh begemar. Okay. The Gemara is going to give us the definitions. I already gave them away. The Martzufim are the sacks, and the Antiki is the cargo that's placed in the sacks. Now, the Rashbam continues, and he writes, V'chol haninami lestu b'chlal hekdesh. Shim hikdash es sfina, lo hikdash es elu. Now, what if you're makdash the boat? So they're also not going to, these things are not going to be included as well. Meaning what the Rashba means introducing to us is that here in this perek, we're not going to make the distinctions that we made previously about a person sells versus a person gifts versus a person is makdish. Over here, the Rashba says, it's not part of the language of the Mishnah. Why not? The Rashba writes, Shim hikdash es sfina, lo hikdash es elu, midalo ketani la bepirkin de la'el. Because if you'll notice, you'll compare the Mishnayos of this parak to the Mishnayos of the previous parak, and you'll notice that in our parak, we're not going to have these discussions of the a person being makish, etc., etc., etc. And why not? So the Rashi goes on to say, because in the previous parak, we were talking about real estate. And when you're talking about real estate, so like I said, but I only said it because I knew the Rashbam coming up, so there we can make very clear delineations of what is and what is not. V'chol ha'nidachash of lomachar, betailin ksas agabam legabe hekdesh, umatana, v'chalukas achen. And so therefore, when a person was makdish, or gifting, or a division of an estate, so there you could say that even though the cistern and the pit are not part of the land in a sale, but in a gift, in a makdish, in a case of a division of an estate, okay, it's part of the land. Meaning, not part and parcel, but it's part of the land. Aval hanide hypirka metalkalininu. But we are now talking about the sale of a boat. The sale of a boat is movables. Lo shna mechav, lo shna matana ve'ekdish kulan shavim behanu. Delamachar shekashem shalamachar kamokain lo hikdish velo nasan. And so therefore the Rashbam says over here, we're not going to make differences between different types of transactions. A consecration, a gift, a division of an estate. None of that becomes relevant to our discussion. Because to begin with, the boat is immovable, and so therefore our distinction of what is and what is not included is strictly functional, not structural. And so therefore, when we say that the sex and the cargo are not included, they're never included, unless you state so explicitly. But they're never included. And the Rashi says because here our distinction is not based on a structural distinction; it's based on a functional distinction. Okay, we start with the Gemara. The Gemara Turan, our Gemara classically now is going to go over the things that are mentioned in the Mishnah. The Gemara is going to give us Aramaic explanations of them. Again, for us, English is a little bit easier, so I'll say the Mishnah, I'll say the Aramaic, and I'll say the English again. But I said it already in the Mishnah. Turan is Iskara. So the Turan is the mast. V'cheinu Omer, Erez Malvanon, Lachul Asos Turan Alecha. Pasuk Yecheskel speaks pretty clearly about how they use the cedar wood, which, as the Rashbam points out over here, is very tall and very strong and can be used for the mast of the boat. Nais is Adra, that's a sail. Vechenu Omer, Sheish Barikma Mimitzrayim, Hayam Efarsech, Lioslo Lechala Nais. Okay, you spread it out and it serves as a nais. Now, nais could be a banner, could be a flag. In this case, obviously, it serves as a sail. Ugin, so now we're up to the third item in the Mishnah that's included in the sail of the boat, and that's the Ugin. I explained the Mishnah as an anchor. The Gemara is going to do the same thing. Tani Rabbi Chia, Elu ugninen shala. Okay, it's the anchor. V'chein hu amer halahein te saberna adasher yigadlu halahein te agena levotia yosleish. This is a dialogue conversation that takes place between Naomi and her daughter-in-laws. Naomi loses her husband. Naomi loses her sons, and her two daughter-in-laws who were Pasha Pshat, simple Pshat, they were not Jewish. So her two daughter-in-laws, she turns to them and she says, okay, enough. I'm going to go back to Beis Lechem and you girls stay here. And they insisted they wanted to go with her. All right, well, sure, 2 months from now, we're going to hear it in the show. So, and she says, look, she says very dramatically, look, I'm not producing more children for you, meaning I'm not going to make more sons for you. And halahein tisaberna, are you going to wait for them? Asher yigadlu alayim, in other words, when they get older. And halahein ta'agena. And basically, are you going to anchor yourselves and wait? In the words from the word aguna, it's the same language. Are you going to anchor yourself? Are you going to wait in the state of perpetuity until, I don't know, until I have more children, until they grow up? Basically, she's trying to convince them, no, you don't come home with me. Yeah, everyone know the story? One does, one doesn't? Okay. Anyway. Manhigan. Am Rabbi Abba Elu Ha Mishotin. Shalom. So the Manhigan, so the Gemara describes as the Mishotin, those are the oars. V'cheinu Omer Alunim Mibisan Asu Mishotecha. Okay, reference to the oars. Another pasuk speaking to this idea of a yardume aniosam. They go off the boat called tofse mishot. Everybody who's holding an oar. Okay, so again, the idea that the manhigan is a mishot. Those are the oars. So those are the things that are included in the sail of a boat: mast, sail, anchor, oars. Tanu Rabbanan, hamocher sasfina machar es haiskala. So when you sell the boat, including that is the iskala. That's the plank, the gangplank, all right, to go up and over the boat. Right? Our general visualization is somebody walking off the gangplank when the boat's in the middle of the water. Okay, but that's, you know. So as bor hamayim shebesocha, and also the pit in the boat. Pit in the boat, Rashman points out, sure. In other words, you needed clean water while going on the boat. In other words, in a boat, you're surrounded by water, but of course all that water you're surrounded by is undrinkable. So you need drinking water. So there was some sort of pit in the middle of the boat. Now, it's not a pit, but whatever. Some sort of apparatus in the middle of the boat that holds the clean water. That's included in the sail. Functionally speaking, that's part of the boat. You need that for the boat. Rabbi Nelson Omer, Amochir Sesfina Macher Esa Beitzis, Simchas Omer, Amochir Sesfina Macher Esa Dugis. When you sell the boat, so we have seemingly a debate, but it's not a debate. They're really describing the same thing, as the Gemara is about to point out. When you sell a boat, including the sale, is going to be both the Beitzis and the Dugis. Okay, and what are those two? Amrava Beitzis Haina Dugis. So first Rava tells us it's the same thing. They're not different than one another. Okay, now that they're the same thing, so of course it begs the question, what are they? So I take a look at the Rashbam. Rashbam is now the third wide line on the Amud. So Hainu Sfina Katana. So what are they? They're basically the life rafts. Not exactly life rafts. The Rashbam over here explains. Hainu Sfina Katana Shekoshin L'Sfina Gedola. Ukishirotzin La'alos L'Yavosha. When they want to go up to dry land, Nichnas Bosa Katana Meha Gedola. So they get off the big boat and they go on the small boat. Sheha Gedola Eina Yechol L'Alis Karev El Sfasiyam. The big boat, it's just too big. It cannot embark on the shore. It's just too big for that. Mimnei Omka, because it's too deep. So there is basically a small boat connected to the big boat, and the purpose of that is to disembark, get off the big boat, get onto the small boat in order to go to shore. Rabbi Nelson Bavla Haya Kare Le Butzis. And Rabbi Nelson Bavla, and Rabbi Nelson was from Bavel, and he would refer to it as Butzis Kedamer Inchi Butzisa de Meshan. Okay, based on the expression people say, right, the shores, the banks of Meshan. Simchus Debar Eretz Yisrael Karila Dugis. And as far as Simchus is concerned, so he is indigenous to Eretz Yisrael, and so therefore the term that he used to describe it as Dugis, Kedichsiv V'acharischam B'siros Duga. Okay, Pasuk Anamos, again describing the small boat in terms of being able to get to disembark from the large boat in order to come to shore. Okay, Amar Rabba. For the remainder of today's daf, for tomorrow's daf, so the Gemara is going to take us into Agarata. Okay, these Agaratas coming up for the remainder of today's daf is going to be some of the more fantastic Agarata that we are going to see over the course of Shas. One note of introduction and a strong recommendation is that if you want to understand the Agarata, meaning what I'm going to do today is I'm going to present, I'll read the Rashbam, I'll give some basic understanding of the Agarata, but in other words, I certainly will not penetrate any of the depths of the Gemara's upcoming Agarata. When we hear it, when it's going to sound funny to us, it's going to sound hyperbolic, it's going to sound fantastic, it's going to sound fictional. It's not meant to be taken literally. It's meant to communicate and convey ideas that are deep, esoteric, and I'm not the right person to communicate these ideas. What I will do is I will read the Gemara, I'll translate, I'll read the Rashbam as well in different points in time, and I'll give some basic idea. A strong recommendation would be a book. It's written in English, so it makes it a little bit easier to get through, although it's not easy to get through. And the name of the book is called The Juggler and the King. Juggler and the King is written by Rabbi Aaron Feldman. Rabbi Aaron Feldman is currently the Rosh Yeshiva of Neir Yisrael. He writes this in the introduction. So he found a pamphlet where it wasn't a manuscript, but basically it was a description of these Gemaras right here, very short, Very short essay, and it was written up by the Vilna Gaon. Vilna Gaon, we don't have much of his own personal writings. Most of that which is communicated to us by the Vilna Gaon was from his students, and you know, and he writes extraordinarily terse, and you have to get through any piece in the Vilna Gaon. They're not pieces. It's, you know, it's comments on the Shulchan Aruch. It's the whatever, the Aderes Aliyah, whatever. To get through it, you have to know everything. In other words, he knows Kol HaTorah Kula, backwards, forwards. He was one of the greatest Talmid HaChachamim we've had in... whatever. It's hard to describe the Vilna Gaon in terms of how great he was. But he was a master. So he wrote on these Agadotas. So he wrote on the Agadotas, Rabbi Aaron Feldman, who's the current Rosh Hashiva from Neu Yisrael. So he went through it. He writes how it had a real profound impact on his life and the way he thought, and he translated it. And the name of the book is called The Juggler and the King, and and you'll see one of the pieces of Agadah that we're going to be discussing today is going to be a juggler. So the title that he chose happens to be based on one of the pieces of Agadah. Okay, so that's my strong recommendation. Go home. Go borrow it if anyone has it, but we'll go buy it. He really does such a good job in terms of being able to try to intelligently communicate a lot of the ideas that are being presented in today's Gemara. There are going to be a total, when we get through all said and done, 21 different pieces of Agadah that are being presented to us. They're very short, they're very punctuated, nothing too long. The one that goes from today's daf to tomorrow's daf, I'm going to stop before that one. So that one's a little bit longer, but they're all pretty short. And there are 21. Today we're going to go through the first 11. Yeah. Today we're going to hit the first 11. Okay, so we start now with number 1. Again, even before I start it once again, one other word of introduction, the Rashbam. So the Rashbam was a Rishon. He's writing on these Gemaras. Like, how did he understand all these Gemaras? So, and the question, I hope you appreciate how good a question that is. Meaning, he was interested in Pshat. He was interested in the simple explanation. It's true when he wrote his Parish on Chumash, he wanted the simple explanation of the Chumash. He writes, you'll find this in the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev. When you read the Rashbam over there, so he writes that, I'm only here to give Pshuto Shemekra, I only want to give the simple explanation of the Torah. I don't want Midrashim, I don't want complexity, I just want to know what the simple Pshat is. The Rashbam, who was a grandson of Rashi, so he writes that, you know, I went over my parish on the Chumash over with my grandfather, and at times my grandfather was reliant on Medrash when giving Pshat in the Chumash. I showed my parish over to my grandfather, and he says to me, he writes this down, he says to me that had he had more time, had he been able to write the parish anew, so he would have been more true to the Pshat that I was. That's what the Rashbam writes. You'll see it in the beginning, in the very beginning of Parshas Vayeshev. So over here, now that I shared that Rashbam with you, so I smile when I think about when the Rashbam sees these Gemaras. Like, what is he doing with these Gemaras? Like, in terms of Pshat, in terms of the simple Pshat of the Gemara. So So I do know this. The Rashbam writes over here. Again, another key Rashbam to share with you in terms of today's daf. The Rashbam writes, Amar Rabbi Shtayle. The Rashbam is about 10 lines after the lines are very wide. It's the end of the line. Dibra Maschal, Amar Rabbi Shtayle v'chule. Kol hani uvde dekachashiv. All these incidents that the Gemara here is mentioning. Mishum marabu masach Hashem. Talks about the greatness of God's creations. A general theme of these stories is the amount of schar that's going to be given to tzaddikin, lasid lavo, in the future. Or to explain some of the more cryptic psukim that are found in Sefer Iyov. Amadabrim, ba'ofas gedolos vehemas dagim, to talk about the large birds and the large animals and the fish. Shekol sichas tamid chachamim shricha tamud. All the conversations of tamid chachamim, they need more explanation and more elaboration. So we're going to see, and you'll see, it's a common theme throughout these stories, is basically fantastic creatures that we've never seen, but again, the Gemara on the simplest levels, not to be taken simply, meaning it's esoteric. It's obviously it's meant to communicate broader and greater ideas. Okay. We're starting now right in the middle of Ein Gimel Med Aleph, Amar Rabba. Ishtal in the Chuzi Yama, so the people who are traveling the sea, and by the way, again, just as I know, I keep getting stuck. The reason why I think the reason why the Agadot is put over here is because we're talking about the sail of a boat, and so obviously the boat's going in the water. So a lot of these Agadot deal with seafarers, ocean waves. You'll see. Fish, large fish. So, probably why the Masader HaGemara, the organizers of the Gemara, Ravina Ravashi, so they took these Agadotas and they placed them right over here. I think it's pretty straightforward. Amar Rabbi Shaili Nechusi Yama, so the seafarers told me, Haigala Demit Balasfina. The waves that sink the boats. So you're talking about very, very large waves. Mitzchazi kutzisisa denura chivarta abereisha. On the tip of the waves, it looks like white fire. Umachinan lei be'avasa dechakik aleha, and to beat them down. So you take a club and you beat them down. And on the club, it's inscripted three different ways to describe Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Yasher ayah, yud hey, and Hashem tzvakos. Amen, amen, selah. So these are the, four. Anyway, so these are the encryptions that are written on the club in order to beat down the waves. Vanaich. And when you do so, the waves are going to subside. So, okay. All right, let's, okay. to continue. Amar Rabba, second of today's 11. Amar Rabbi Shailin Nechusi Yama, another thing that was told to me by the seafarers. Bengala Gala Tlasmea Parse. Between each wave is 300 parsa. Okay, that's parsa is 4 mil. So 300 parsa is obviously a very long distance between one wave and the next. And you get the hang of this. Every time you see the word 300 as a number recorded in the Gemara, 300 is guzma. It's meant as exaggeration. It just simply means a lot. The number is not to be taken literally, but then in the context of this entire Gemara, none of it really is meant to be taken literally. So the but between each wave is tlas mea parsa, 300 parsa, parsa veruma degala tlas mea parsa, and the height of each of the waves is 300 parsa. Zimnechana one time avazina beorcha. I was going on the path, Vidalin and Gala, and I was lifted by a wave, Ad de Chazina Bay Marvasa de Kochavazuta. I basically got to a resting space, a resting spot of one of the smaller stars. The Havile Kimivza Arban Gride Bizra. How large was this resting spot for the star? It was enough that you could have planted 40 core of mustard seed. Again, I can't speak to you in linear dimensions in terms of how big it is. Obviously, over here, the Gemara is just trying to communicate size and mass. In other words, it's a great area. Bizu de Chardala. V'idalina tfei. Now, had I been lifted up anymore, meaning he's describing an ascent towards the heaven, and he basically got to the resting stop of the star, resting spot of the star, and had he been risen any further, hava maklina mehevle, I would have been burdened by the heat of the star. Verami la galakala lechaverta, and I saw basically the waves communicating to one another. One wave is talking to the other wave. And I overheard the conversation, and here's how the dialogue went between one wave and the other. Quote, chaverti, my friend, and that's waves obviously have a good relationship. Shavka mida ba'ama delo shatfua the nice yana v'navde. Did you leave anything over for me? Did you destroy the whole world, leaving nothing for me to destroy? So Amar lei pok chazi gevurta demarech. So the other wave said to the first wave, well, you got to see the strength of your master, meaning you got it wrong. A single wave cannot destroy the world. Malachuta chala v'lo avdi, meaning all you need is a little bit of sand and the sand blocks the waves from destroying, from going onto the shore. So in other words, it just simply can't be that a wave can destroy the whole world. Shenemer ha'osi lo siruna mashemi mimnei lo sachilu asher samti chol gvul layam. I created the sand as a border for the ocean, chok olam v'lo yavru, and the water will not go over the sand. The sand creates a barrier so that the water does not encroach. Again, on the that I was going to say I was about to say on the simplest level. On the simplest level, the Gemara means exactly what I just said. That's the simplest level. But again, in the context of the general theme of what's trying to be communicated over here, the waves are the Eitzahara. The Eitzahara is attacking an individual, right? These are some of the most basic ideas which the Gemara probably is trying to communicate to us, and I'm incapable. I'm not saying this out of humility. I can't really hit the depths of what the Gemara is trying to communicate, but the basic idea that the Yetzer Hara tries to get us one wave after another wave, right? The communication between the Yetzer Hara, between its first attack and its second attack, etc., etc. Back to the Gemara. We're up to now the third. Amar Rabba, the Didich Hazilei. Now, the Rashbam over here has two girsos of the Gemara. We have in the Gemara with a nun, Hormin. The Rashbam says it could be also Hormiz. And you'll see the name Hormiz also mentioned elsewhere in Shas. The Rashbam points that out as well. L'didich azilei Hormin bar Lilis. So I was looking basically at this demon. Kika right, Akufya deshuda demechuza. So he was running on the edge of a wall of the town of Mechuza. The right parsa. And running below, like in other words, basically alongside where the demon's running, is a cavalryman, a man on a horse. Ki rachiv chiyusa mitasai velo yachale. And basically, the demon was trying to catch up with the guy on the horse, but he couldn't. And again, the idea that the demon over here as a manifestation of representation is a reference to the Eitz Hara, right? And we are the horsemen and we're running ahead, and the Eitz Hara is trying to catch up with us, but cannot catch up with us, meaning that we're in a position where we can always... We're in a position where we could defeat the Eitz Hara. Zimnachan hava misargan le tarte kundayam. There was one occasion where I saw that he was jumping from between two mules. The kaiman atrei gishra de rugna, and standing on the two bridges of rugna, name of a place as a Rashbam, top of ayin gimel amid beis vishav arme hai lahai. Jumping, this demon was jumping from one mule to the other mule. And mehai lahai. Jumping back and forth between the two mules. Venakatre mazge de chamra biyadeh. And in doing so, was also holding on to two cups of wine in his hand. Umorik mehai lahai. And while jumping between the two, was transferring the wine from one cup to the other, mehai lahai. Velo natfa nituvta la'ara. And even though was jumping from one mule to another and transferring the wine from one cup to another, was not spilling a single drop of the cup from one to the other. Okay. And hence, you get now the juggler. Meaning, this is the, as I mentioned in the beginning of today's shir, so the name of Rav Feldman Sefer is Juggler and the King. So this is now the juggler, as the Gemara is describing it. The Oso Hayom. And on that very day, Yalu Shamayim Yardu Tomos, Hava Adushamu Be Machusa. So he was going up to the heavens, and he was going down to the depths, meaning he was this demon, this juggler, was penetrating the heights and the lows, and Adushamu Be Machusa, until the king heard, Vekatluhu, and the king killed this demon. Adkan, that then takes us to the end of three. So again, how much can I try to communicate? Whatever I'm capable in doing so. The Rashbam points out a couple things over here. Number one, the Rashbam points out that the juggling act over here was really impressive. Not only did he not spill the wine, the Rashbam points out over here, Alpha P, the Rashbam, second Rashbam on the Amud. I'm starting from the fourth line down. The Alpha P, Shayyosa Yom Ruch Sarah, it's a very windy day. Shayyolim Yorde Ayam Banios Ad Leshamayim Vyordim Ad Tahamos, Mikoa Charuach. And that was the idea expressed in the Gemara where the sailors were go up to the heavens and go down to the depths. Mikoa charuach, because of the wind, the afapikain lo nafla tipa laret. Still, as stormy as it was, as violent as it was, this juggler was able to transfer the wine from one cup to another without spilling any of the wine. And then along comes the king, hears about this juggler, kills the juggler. who are we talking about? So the Rashbam over here entertains a couple of pshatim. I'm just going to read the first pshat in the Rashbam. Shamen be'maka v'kalua be'maka d'shidi. The king of the demons. Shein darko shoshe laharos l'vnei adam. Because what this particular demon was doing was showing off. And in the world of demons, the Rashbam says you can't do that. L'vnei adam v'argu mimnei shaya megala sodam. Because in showing off, his, again, on the simplest level, his ability to juggle, his ability to jump from one to another. So he was giving away the secrets of the demons, and that is a violation of the demon code, and you can't do that. And so therefore the king of the demons killed him. Again, that's the Rashman. Rashman gives another shot as well. And anyway,
I'm asking.
Number four, Amar Rabba, Lididi Chazelei Urzelei Bar Yuma, Da'ave Bar Tavor. Rabba says, I saw this Arzela. Arzela, the Rashbam describes as a Re'im, right? A Re'im is an animal that we don't have much familiarity with. You can call him, you can call it a unicorn. I'm fine with that. Anyway. So and it was and it was only one day old. So Lididi Chazale Urzale Bar Yuma. So I saw this Urzale that was one day old, Davikar Tavor, and it was as large as Hartavor. Vahartavor, Kamehave Arbe Parse. And the Hartavor, the mountain of Tavor, was four parsa. Umashach de Tsavara Tasa Parse, and the length of its neck was three parsa. Ube Marvaasa de Reshe, and the place where it rested his head, parsa upaga, was a parsa and a half. Half of its neck. Rama kofta v'sachala liyardena. And it excreted, and the excretion was so much that it stopped up the Jordan River. Number five. Amar Abba Barbachana lidicha zile ahu karkusa. So I saw this frog. Da'avya ki akra de hagronya. So it was... It was of a significant size, the size of a city, the city of Hagronya. The Akra de Hagronya kama havyan shisin bate, and the city of Hagronya was 60 houses. Asa tanina bala, along comes the snake to swallow up the frog. As we're approaching Pesach, by the way, yes, it's reminiscent of Chagadya. And Asa Pushkansa, and along comes the raven, Ubala Tanina, and swallowed up the snake. Vesalik Yasav Bi'ilana. And then what this raven did is it went up and it sat and it perched on a branch. Tachazikamanish Nafish Chela di Ilana, and see how big was that tree that it was able to support the raven that swallowed the snake that swallowed the frog. Amra Papa Brashmo Ilohavia Hasam Lohemni. Rapapa says that had I not been there, had I not seen it myself, I never would have believed such a story. Number six. Amar Abba Bar Bachana Zimnechana Havakah Azlina Besfinta. One time I was on a boat. Vechazina Nahu Kavran. I saw a fish. Diyasrelei Achlatina Beusie. And basically, it got some sort of worm stuck in its nostril. And the Bach adds a word over here in the Gemara, Umis. And the fish died as a result of that. V'idchuhu maya. So now that the fish was dead, so it's going to be pushed by the current of the water. V'shajua laguda. And it pushed to the bank of the river. V'charv mine shisa mechuze. And because this fish was so big, it destroyed 60 cities. And it was able to provide food for 60 cities. And salting 60 cities. From one eye, right, the eye of the fish is very oily. So from one eye came out enough to provide the oil for 300 barrels. The chihadron labasar. Labasa treisa yache shasa chazina da hava kamansere migar. I'm sorry. V'chi hadron labasa treisa yache shasa, and we're only able to recover a year later. Chazina da hava kamansere migarme metalasa, and basically we took from the bones of the fish to provide shade. The yasfei lemivnehu hanach mechuze, and in other words, so much bones that were coming off the fish, we were able to rebuild the cities that were destroyed. Number 7. Amar Rabba Bar Bachana Zimna Chana Ava Kazlina Besfinasa. I was on a boat. The chazina now covered the yasfei le chalta, and I saw the fish that was covered with sand. And the fish, again, was so big that it looked like basically a small island. Agme v'kadach agme. In fact, there was v'agme ilave. And there was sand on the back of the fish, and reeds were growing on the sand. And basically what the fish looked like was an island. Savrina and yavishtahu. We all thought it was an island. We didn't know any better. V'sakinan. And we went on the fish. V'afinan. And we baked. U'bashlinan agabe. And basically, you know, we had a barbecue on the back of the fish. Unbeknownst to us, it was a fish. We thought it was an island. The kad cham gabe isapech. Now, because we were basically starting a fire on the back of the fish, so what did the fish do? He rolled over. And the ilavdav and mekarves fintav tavina. Had there not been a boat that was right next to us, we would have drowned. Okay, that was number 7. Again, a simple idea that, you know, it's the world is not exactly what we see it is. We perceive it as one way. It's really something else. Okay. Number 8. V'am rabba b'rbachana zimna chada hava zimna b'sfinta v'sage sfinta b'ein shitza l'shitza. One time we were on a boat, and we saw a fish. So bein shitza l'shitza de kavrei talsa yume v'talsa l'vase. To basically get from one fin to the other fin of this, once again, very large animal, this very large fish, it took us a 3-day journey. Now, iu bizikifa v'anan bishi pula. Now, the fish was running against the current, and we were going together with the current. V'chitem ala masagis finta tuva. Now, maybe you'll tell us that the boat wasn't traveling that fast, and that's why it took us 3 days to get from one end to the other end of the fish. Ki asar avdimi amar kemecham kumkama demaya maskin shisi parse. The amount of time that it takes to heat up a little bit of water, so the boat went at 60 parsa. The boat was going very fast. So it wasn't a function of the boat being slow. It's that this fish was really big. Vishade parsa gire v'kad male. And a person shot an arrow, and we outpaced the arrow. Meaning we on the boat were going very fast. And it's only because the fish was so big that it took us 3 days to get from one end to the other. V'amar Rav Ashi ahu gildana diyama havai. That particular fish is referred to as gildana diyama. The islay treshitze, it has 2 fins. The Rashman points out over here, I'm not really sure what the Rashman is describing, but having 2 fins is unusual. So the Rashman over here is not describing the 2 fins on the side. That's not unusual. It's pretty normal. So again, it must be that the fin configuration of this particular fish, it was unusual. It was strange. Okay, number 9. Amar Rabba Bar Bachana Zimnechana Avazina Besfinta was on a boat. V'chazina Utsifra. And I saw a particular bird. Dikayim Ad Kartsule Bamaya. Avereisha Berikia. So his feet were in the water and his head was up to the heavens. Again, a description of an extraordinarily large bird. Lake Amaya. So I said, okay, you know, its legs are in the water. It must be that it's very shallow water. So somebody said to me, you know, the water is really deep. I'll tell you how deep it is. We dropped a hammer into the water, Hashef Shni, Velo Ka Macha Aara. And for 7 years, it's still dropping to the bottom. So the water is very deep. This bird is very big. Velabishum Dinafisha Maya, Alamishum Dirafidi Maya. And also, there's a strong current as well, which also doesn't allow for the axe to get to the bottom of the water. Amravashi Hau Ziz Shade Hu. So, in terms of the name of the bird, it's called Ziz Shadi, Dechziv, Viziz Shadi Imadi. Okay, the Amar Rabba, we're up to number 10. Rabbi says, Amar Rabbi Bar Bachana Zimnechana Avakazlina Be Midbara. One time I was in the desert. Vechazina Nahanu Ivzein. I saw a geese. Dishamti Gadfayu Mishmanayu. And the feather came off together with some of its fat. Vekanagde Nachle Demishcha Mitusayu. And the rivers were flowing from the fat that came off of this goose. Aminalu Isle Begavaychu Chalkalama Daase. And I said, do I have a portion of the world to come? Chada Dali Gadfa Vechada Dali Atma. And one of the fins. He lifted up one of his wings, and v'chadei dali amta atma, and one of his bones. And the Rashbam over here points out that this was a remez that he is going to receive a portion in the world to come. Ki asla kamed Rabbi Lazar amali asidin li sorli tenaleim asadin, and they go in front of Rabbi Lazar, and Rabbi Lazar says, ultimately the Jewish people are going to have to give have a reckoning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning, as the Rashbam points out over here, that as a result of the of our sins, so we're holding back the Mashiach, and the geese are, again, I'm giving the Rashman's explanation, the geese are in pain as a result of being held back as much. And finally today we finish up with one more. Amar Rabba Barchana Zimnechada Avakazlina Be'midbar. One time I was in the desert. V'itluya Bahadana Utaya, and we were accompanied by an Arab. Davishakal Afra Umorichle. And he was taking some of the dirt, and he was spreading the dirt. V'amar ha'orcha l'duchta plan, v'orcha l'duchta plan. This is the way to get to so-and-so, and this is the way to get to so-and-so. Amalei kama marchika mimaya. How far away from water? V'amalan hachi, I'm sorry, havali afra. So he says, okay, give me the dirt. I'll tell you just by analyzing the dirt. Yavinalei v'amalei tamni parsi. He says, we're 8 parts away from water. Tanin v'yavinalei, amalan demechakin tasa parsa. So we tried it again, and now he said we are 3 parses away. If chaslei v'lo yachil talei. So we turned it over once again, but we couldn't catch up to him. He was, in other words, we kept testing him with the dirt, but he was basically an expert. In other words, by just giving him the dirt, he was able to tell you exactly where everything was, how far we are from water, etc., etc. Okay, we stop here. Tomorrow we pick it up on the very bottom, which tomorrow we start with number 12. I told you, there are 21 of these in total. They will take us through tomorrow's daf, and then some.